now. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is the same sort of thing about putting colloids into liquid crystals. And the motivation is that we'd like to build a crystal out of colloids that does not have some closed pack structure. So we'd ideally like something like a diamond lattice as opposed to an FCC or a BCC lattice. So before I should begin, I should mention the people who were involved in this work. So there's Francis Mackay, Santu Olia, and Chris Smith. But most of the work that I'll talk about today was done by Francis. So why don't we normally get, like, why would we be interested in something like putting particles into a liquid crystal? And if you think of a standard colloidal interaction for spherically symmetric particles in an isotropic fluid, normally you have interactions like excluded volume, electrostatic interactions, and van der Waals or induced dipole types of things. And all of these interactions are all spherically symmetric. So they typically lead to FCC or HCP or basically some closed-packed type of crystal. And, you know, for the same reason that group 1 elements form these same crystals, it's because they're spherically symmetric. So we'd like something that isn't spherically symmetric and then try to put it together. And ideally, we'd like something like carbon or silicon that have something like a valence 4. So the sort of particles I'll talk about are particles in a cholesteric liquid crystal. So I won't say too much about how we model them. But like I say, Randy's already gotten this nice introduction to what happens when you put a particle in a crystal, and then we'll see how we can tie them together and if we can indeed form a stable, non-closed-packed structure. So when we describe a pneumatic, we have typically a few different things we can use. We can say, well, there are a bunch of molecules that are vaguely rod-like, and if they're weakly ordered, they might look something like this. If they're strongly ordered, they might look something like that. So we also need something that tells us how ordered they are. So we might want some scalar order parameter. Now, these are up, down, symmetric. Well, the molecules aren't, but the phase is, as Randy mentioned. So in this case, we can't use a vector. But if we look at defects, as we go around the core of a defect, as we come into the core, we sort of lose a sense of direction. So, and the core of the defect, we really need more directions than this director field. And basically, we take a tensor order parameter, which is basically a 3x3 matrix, whose largest or principal eigenvector corresponds to the director field, and the eigenvalue is just this little q. So then we need to look at how we move them around, and they couple to both gradients and flow velocities, but primarily stuff we'll look at today is just basically just a downhill in a free energy type of surface. Now, the equations, you know, look kind of complicated, but the key thing to point out is, okay, these things are a fluid, so they obey Navier-Stokes equation, and they have a free energy that has our order parameter, which is this little tensor, and an elastic contribution. But key to looking at how particles will move around, we also need to know something about their stress tensor. The stress tensor looks something like that. And because pneumatics can transmit a torque, they can actually have an anti-symmetric part of a stress tensor, which looks something like that. So H, again, is the variational derivative of that free energy field. So if I want to put a particle into a liquid crystal, like I say, we have to look, basically integrate over its surface a contribution from the stress and a contribution from the local torque. And that can move the particle around, and if the surface was deformable, it would also change its shape. So this is a sort of Saturn ring defect that Randy mentioned before. Basically, if we put into a pneumatic liquid crystal where far away the field is all lined up in one direction, but we put in this particle that has boundary conditions where the director wants to be perpendicular to the surface, we'll end up with something like this little ring going around, and this is from a simulation. And typically, rather than plotting the director field, as Randy said, that's kind of messy in three dimensions, so Basically, we'll just plot the maximum eigenvalue, which is shown in pink here. And on the core of a defect, remember I mentioned the it becomes slightly more disordered. So this surface here, which is the plot, contour plot of the maximum eigenvalue, is an easy way to pick out these defect lines. So you can put these things together, and they typically self-assemble into something like chains, depending on whether it's a dipole or quadrupolar type of conformation. You can get these sort of zigzaggy chains, and you can push chains together to form these nice sort of two-dimensional structure. And you know, these things have been studied by quite a bit over the last 10 or 15 years. But one thing we're going to look at instead in this case is we're going to put our particles into a cholesteric. And a cholesteric is a little bit different from a pneumatic in the sense that background sort of pneumatic field rotates. So it has a chirality in it, and it has some pitch, which says how long it is between the rotations. So the pitch is fairly easily adjustable by just doping the liquid crystal. So basically, if you go to experimentalists, they can generate pitch basically whatever you'd like. So that's one of the degrees of freedom that we have, is the pitch. But we also have, if we put in a particle, the size of the particle. So if we start out with something like this, which is a Saturn ring defect, and plot it over here as the field far away from this particle, and we gradually increase the pitch, this little Saturn ring starts to twist into sort of a nice sort of loopy shape, and you get this pretty little spiral type of structure. Now, it's clear the symmetries of this and the symmetries of this are not exactly the same. In fact, you might say that looks vaguely more spherically symmetric perhaps than that. But again, you have along this chain, you have a winding, and it's not entirely obvious from the topology of this. Perhaps I'll have to look up how to produce those nice plots that Randy talked about. But we get very different structures depending on whether or not the anchoring is perpendicular or their anchoring is tangential. So if we do the same thing with a tangentially anchored particle far away, it's something like this. We get two little poles on the core. These are like plus one defects. They look like basically the poles on a map or a globe of the Earth. And as we gradually increase the twist, these poles split into two plus halves, and they have to be then connected by a line in the bulk. And as we gradually increase the twist, these lines twist round and round. But the key point is that these lines terminate on the surface, and there's four points at which they terminate on the surface. So we've got a spherical object that has four charges on its surface. In this case, they're connected by lines. So this seems like a reasonable analog to something like a carbon atom, in the sense that a carbon atom has valence 4. This looks like something that might have valence 4. So you take one and you try to put them together. So if we put two of these together, basically something like this, these lines, rather than connecting up on the surface, decide to go to the neighboring particle, and they just connect. And not surprisingly, we end up with a region where we're sort of bonded in the sense of these strings are attached to the surface. So if we pull them apart, they pull back again like a spring. And then if you pull them far enough apart, they break and they become these individual particles. And an interesting factor is that where these defects terminate on the surface also changes as we pull them apart and move to a very different sort of angle between the defect lines. And part of the reason that is because these defect lines really cost energy. So they have a line tension associated with them. The system doesn't really like to create these lines. The only reason in going from here to here that we've created the lines rather than these point defects is that our surface energy is reduced in this configuration, because if I was to plot it on the surface, there's a twist that's compatible with this structure, which is not with this one. And I should say, if you just minimize the surface energy, you'd actually get something more like this than you would this. So So it's really these lines are pulling each other and they want to be close together, so when they're bonded, they can actually be further apart, and they're actually happier, and when they come together, they break. So that seems a little bit like a double bonded carbon, except for, of course, there's no hydrogens. The hydrogens would be something like these little loops on the end. So you might try and put a bunch of them together in a chain so we can construct the analog of a polymer chain that looks something like this. And so, again, it looks like a nice carbon-looking chain. So then we say, well, let's throw them into a diamond lattice. We know carbon can form a diamond lattice and see what happens. And if you do that, you end up with something like this. So these strings no longer bind along the directions that you would have hoped. And in fact, it doesn't really, it's actually not that happy in a diamond lattice. So what is wrong with this structure? Why doesn't it like to be in this configuration? It looked like we had this sort of nice ideal structure. And we can also adjust things like the pitch to adjust this distance between these things. So we can play with a lot of factors, but this is typically what we get. And the problem is that these particles are actually not in a translationally invariant background. They've got this background that's got this pitch in it. And so they're phase locked to the background twist of the cholesteric. So in fact, if you just take two particles and we have the twist axis coming back up here, and we gradually start from here and rotate them up, there'll be again a bonded region, and as we move them up here, the bonds will break and they'll become independent sort of particles again. And basically that's what happens when we try to shove them into something like a diamond lattice. So this sort of termination on the surface isn't sort of a useful structure for building something like that. So then we decided to go back and look again at these structures here. And these structures are sort of duals to these ones here. So if we look at, say, the twist on something like this or this, these lines could potentially connect up with one's neighboring particles. So we tried to put this one into a diamond lattice to see what we can get. So if you do that, you can get a number of different structures, and it depends a lot on the pitch of the cholesteric compared to the size of the particle. So if you start out with sort of an infinite pitch, which is our pneumatic type case, we have something like this, and these particles aren't really thrilled to be in a diamond lattice. Now, how do we tell? Now, of course, we're doing these simulations in a periodic box, and our box period has to be commensurate with now the structure of the diamond lattice and the pitch of the cholesteric. So having forces equal to zero in something with a finite pitch isn't necessarily a guarantee that the structure is going to be stable. So we vary the pitch first and find the minimum structure. Now the minimum energy structure in this diamond lattice has this pitch here, where you can sort of see that these lines are going down symmetry axis of the lattice itself. So this seems like a reasonable candidate, and if you plot the energy basically per particle as a function of pitch, you find there's a minimum sitting down here. So that's going to be our candidate. Now, as I said, we've got periodic boundary conditions. We're in a periodic box. The forces are zero, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee that we're at a true minimum. So what we need to do is look to see if it's stable. So we can look at the phonon spectrum of our lattice. Basically, we run a simulation with these particles in it. We have thermal noise, the particles move around, and the fluctuations of the particles are related to this sort of second derivative. So if you recall from your condensed matter class, you can actually work out the phonon spectrum from looking at the second derivatives of the potentials of interaction between the particles. So we look at that, and so basically this is our sort of irreducible cell in a diamond lattice, and we can go through various paths in reciprocal space, and look at the fluctuations on those directions, and that gives us something with a phonon spectrum energy as a function of wavelength, which is somewhere in this block. And the first thing we see is that they're all positive, which is a good sign, which means second derivative is positive. That's what you want for a minimum. But again, as I said, we've got sort of a finite size system, so we need to sort of gradually increase the system size to see if something goes soft in the thermodynamic limit. So, you know, we're sort of constrained computationally, so we can't go to huge systems, but we do a number of different system sizes, and you can see that as we increase the system sizes, some of these mode energies go down, but none of them go to zero, except for one over here, but this is the gamma point, which is related to just translation, and you expect that one to go to zero because it doesn't cost any energy to translate the lattice. So if we look at this, it says that indeed this diamond structure with this pitch should be a thermodynamically stable phase of the system, but there may be other candidates around. So if we look at just the liquid crystal energy of the system and try it in diamond, BCC, and FCC, what we see is BCC and FCC, as far as the liquid crystal itself goes, seem to be favored. Now, I should say that these energies, if we relate them to KT, KT on this scale is about 4 times 10 to the minus 6. So these things are going to be very slow dynamics, glassy type structures. They can, so basically, if we put it in this diamond structure, even if these are lower, then it should stay there because it's at least a metastable structure, which we figured out from looking at the phonon spectrum. But there's one interaction that we haven't taken into account here, and that's the nearest neighbor sort of hard sphere type of interaction that keeps these things from collapsing together. We actually add that because the diamond lattice has a different number of nearest neighbors than the FCC and the BCC lattice. It turns out that there is a range of particle-particle interaction energies, which will be something like the van der Waals forces or the repulsive forces, where the diamond lattice actually becomes the favored lowest energy state. So we need some repulsive interaction, but between colloids, this shouldn't be too hard to generate in a real system. And again, like I say, KT is very small here, so if even if you're sitting up here, this should be stable compared to those two, and it's still less than zero. So we should end up with a stable diamond lattice. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy to make. Like I say, the dynamics of this will be very sort of slow and glassy, but that's also true of things like silicon. It was very hard to make silicon crystals when they first started doing this, and some of the first experimental studies of particles in chlorosterics done, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, basically just saw a mess of lines and a very glassy sort of structure, which this would suggest would be quite likely. But if you use the same sort of techniques of crystal growth that you could use for, you know, something like silicon, where you have a moving front with, say, in this case, you could use some, perhaps something like a template from an optical trap to build these things, it may be possible to build. But the main point is, if you build it, it will stay together. Okay, thanks.